Good evening. Welcome to News Views. The time is just about 6 p.m. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. My name's Garland Nixon. And, of course, there's plenty to talk about here in the nation's capital. We're going to give you an opportunity to call in. Of course, one of the things I like to do on this show is give you the opportunity to share your views. The show is called News Views, but it's not just going to be about my views. It's very important that you're a part of it. That's one of the things that we do here at WPFW. We give you the opportunity to be a part of the show. And I think that's the most important thing that can happen to me, here on News Views, is to get the opportunity to share with you. I like to take this position. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. And together for this 1 hour a week, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m., maybe I can throw out something. I can throw out an issue. And together we can all pick up something about it. We can all learn something about it. And today, of course, there's a very, very important issue. You may have been reading the news lately and come across a story that for many African Americans is an all too familiar occurrence. There was a young college student in New York who saved his money, as a bright young man may do, to buy something really cool. And he decided he was going to go to Barney's of New York and get a Ferragamo belt, which is about $350. Saves his money. And he's bright-eyed, and he's going to go in and get his belt. Well, that's when things went south. So, let me kind of give you the story kind of verbatim. He goes to New York City College of Technology. His name's Trayon Christian. He was 18. So he goes over to Madison Avenue. For any of you who know much about Madison Avenue, a lot of big money stores there, to buy his Ferragamo belt. He went to pay for his belt. The cashier asked for ID. Okay, so that's normal. Shows the ID, paid for it, leaves the department store, walks two blocks, and two undercover police officers stop him. Now, for those of you know who are a little bit about criminal justice, in order to stop him, the officers had to either have evidence or believe that a crime had been committed or was about to be committed. Holy moly, the situation has changed. Everything's gone south. A lawyer just walked in the room.
Watch out.
It's Mark Levine, and you listen to WPFW 89.3 FM. And we got big things. Mark, of course, we're talking about the incident at Barney's in New York.
Right.
Okay, so at any rate, so I've finished filling my listeners in for those who don't know. So anyway, this young man gets outside. A couple of New York City officers stopped him, which, of course, is an issue. An officer must have probable cause or reasonable suspicion to believe that a crime has occurred or is about to occur in order to detain someone. So they stop him. So what could the crime possibly be? They asked for his identification, what was in his bag. He showed him the belt. They asked, how was he able to afford the belt? They allegedly accused him of purchasing the belt with a fraudulent card and said they'd received a call from Barney's. So he goes in, he shows a credit card, he shows identification to show that it's his credit card. They swipe the card, the money goes through, and they say, we better call the cops. We think this guy's got a stolen credit card. Granted, it's got his name on it, and granted, he's got ID, and granted, it's going through. But hey, he's a young black man, and he just bought a $350 belt. That can't be right. Well, it gets worse. The officers then felt that it was in their best interest to take the young man in, to lock him up, to keep him in a cell for a couple hours.
What was the probable cause?
He was a black man with a $350 belt, Mark.
Yeah, that's
isn't that a crime in New York City?
You know, it may be, but it's not actually in the law books.
That explains a lot. So at any rate, so they take him in, okay? They keep him in. They handcuff him on the sidewalk, put him in a police vehicle.
According to nice lawsuit,
court documents, he was detained in a holding cell, interrogated. The police contacted Chase Bank to check his card. When they confirmed that his card was valid, they released him and apologized. You know, I have a funny feeling.
Apologize. I bet they better give him a free belt. I'll say that.
That apology ain't going to go a long ways. His lawyer said this is a clear case of racial profiling by a department store and the police. It's an outrage. He committed no crime. He's a young black male who likes fashion. First of all, let me throw the number out because I'm sure there are those who are going to make. You think, Mark, there may be someone who may
I think
feel
we'll get. I think we'll get a few calls.
They want to comment and may have gone through something similar, unfortunately. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. You know, we talk, you know, we have these discussions. We talk about the Tea Party. There's another guy, Yeltsin, we got to talk about. I don't know if you heard about the story about the guy who was on the the South Carolina GOP county chairman.
North Carolina. Right.
Who was on TV.
He was on
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
And he made these outrageous
racial statements. I saw that, actually.
Outrageous racial statements. But
frankly, you know, given what he's doing, he was just telling the truth.
There was somebody who finally came clean. But at any rate, 202-588-0893 if you want to call.
Let's tell him what he said.
We'll get into that at 6:30. But for now.
Let's talk about Barney's.
Let's talk about Barney's. Are we getting any calls yet? Looks like we see some flashing. Okay.
There's an issue throughout American society. I mean, there obviously black people having trouble getting cabs in Manhattan. People assuming that this. How old was the guy?
18.
He is 18. So they're like, oh, he's 18. He's black. He can't afford a nice
belt. He can't afford a $350 belt. Now, you know what the...
Here's what I don't understand. He walks in, mm-hmm. he shops, mm-hmm. he brings the belt to the counter, mm-hmm. he gives them a credit card, mm-hmm. it's got his name on it,
yep.
he's got an ID,
mm-hmm.
it's a photo ID,
uh-huh.
it has his name on it,
mm-hmm.
and they call the cops.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do that with all of their customers who use a credit card and a photo ID. Mark, there's nothing abnormal about that. Why wouldn't you call the cops and say this guy...
I guess he didn't have an account there.
I think that might be it, Mark, you think? And so, but then it goes on to the next part, Mark. Now, that's the first half of it. Barney's was wronger than wrong,
I think Barney's a better fire system.
Now, let's go to the second part of it.
Yep.
They call New York City police and say, hey,
yeah, that's even worse.
We got a black guy here who just bought a $350 belt. They're rolling it. We better run, lights and siren on this one. We've got a 427 here on over there on Madison Avenue. Black man buying $350 belt. Respond. So two officers, I guess, respond, lights and siren. They see the guy, I'm surprised there wasn't how sometimes when there's an incident, there'll be like an ambulance and a fire truck with all these various,
A fire truck.
A black man with a $350 belt. They should have sent a helicopter, Mark, in New York, according to them.
That's definitely, you never know. A building might go aflame after that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't call for like drones, helicopters, B-52s.
Sure. There you go.
A black man with a $350 belt apparently is evidence that a crime has been committed to be committed.
Barney's said no employee of Barney's was involved.
You're right.
How could that be?
Fired the guy.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. They fired that guy immediately.
Yeah, well, not anymore. He's not employed. But
yeah, how could no employee of Barney's be involved?
Yeah.
I'm just curious about
that. Look, he bought it from Barney's.
Right.
But no employee from Barney's sold it to him.
I'm just trying to figure out how
somebody called the police, but it wasn't an employee. They were.
Did some fellow customer see this?
Yeah, I'm sure. Apparently, the police said Barney's called.
I have no idea.
I'm thinking Barney's got some serious issues. And here's what's even worse. Barney's has some deal with Jay-Z irony. Has some deal with Jay-Z where they're coming up with some line of clothes with Jay-Z, I guess, to attract more black customers. Trust me, this ain't the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about it. They want their money, but they don't actually want them in the store. They're not trying to attract more black customers. They're trying to get more money from black people.
Well, they don't want their money for expensive stuff, apparently.
Well, they probably got something online like, www.barneysforblackpeople.com. So black people can buy online.
Maybe they have a cheap. I don't know. There's a computer. Ask for a picture ID. You're dark skinned.
Yeah,
then the computer turns you in.
FBI is going to be breaking through your door. A black person.
Yeah, the NSA comes around.
Bought a Givenchy. I got a Givenchy suit on, Mark. What do you think?
You do. Actually, you look like the lawyer today, not me.
Yeah,
you in your pinstripe suit and fancy tie. Let me tell you something. Garland dresses fancy. I mean, I come in here maybe only after a TV show. Am I in a suit? I'm, you know, it's jeans and that. But Garland, he dresses to the hilt. I think you're about to be racial profiled.
Let me tell you, I better not wear the suit in Barney's.
No, you better not.
Where'd you get that suit, young man? Yeah. Hell, police! They'll be pulling, you know, the little fire things beside the front door. They'll be yanking them, man. But look,
let's see what our callers.
We got plenty of callers to talk about. We're gonna start with Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington D.C.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Wonderful.
Hey there.
Hey, yeah, so, this is just a clear example of how, you know, of course, you know, America, we still have the specter of racism that has permeated our society, you know, and affects how people behave. You know, this young man was just doing his thing, saving his dough, you know, and went down there to buy that belt. And, of course, stupidity, he had a credit card. He had an ID with his name on it and his name on the credit card, mm-hmm. you know. And all we can do at this point in time is to vote the best way we can. That is with our dollars, you know. So yeah. If people, you know, boycott Barney's, and or if when police do this type of thing to us, that we sue the hell out of the city, mm-hmm. you know, then the power of the purse will force the city to enforce, you know, the proper behavior modification for its officers, you know, in this multiracial society that we live in.
Hey, by the way, did you know what the name of the customer was?
The
name of the customer that was discriminated against?
Trayvon Christian.
No, his name was Trayvon. So the answer is people aren't discriminating against black people. They're just discriminating against people whose first name is Trayvon.
Yeah, that's not going
to
help.
That's the name that you're not allowed to have in America. Any other name, it would have been fine.
And that's what probably conservatives would argue.
It was just his first name, Trayvon.
They would argue it had nothing to do with the color of his skin.
No,
right?
No. Here's
the thing about it. We're going to go to another call. But here's the thing about it that's alarming, shall we say. If you really get down to what happened here, there was a person, whoever saw it, called the police, who...
Barney's insisted it wasn't their employee.
Yeah, right. Well, of course they're going to say that
kind of
stuff.
Of course they are. They don't want to be boycotted. Right. But I don't... You know, it's just interesting. I'm looking for the web to see if I can get more
information. Let me tell you what's going to happen, Mark. They're going to say it wasn't any of their employees, right? And then they're going to settle this thing... And part of the settlement will be that nobody can say that here's the X amount of dollars and you can't say anything. Right. And so there will never be anything to contradict whether or not it was one of their employees. So they'll just say it wasn't one of their employees. And then when the lawsuit is finally settled, then they'll say, well, you can't say whether it was or not. And then they will say it was never firmly established that it was a Barney's employee. So they're just, you know, lying. And that'll probably work. And you know, if it was me, I'd take the cash. But what I was saying is, Mark,
here's what I said about the cops, though. So the cops came in here and took my microphone. Yeah. So let's say the cops, they go.
And
they
we're going
get
to Chris
guy,
next, so hold on there, Chris.
They got his ID. Uh-huh. They got his credit card. They got his receipt. If by some sheer weirdness of chance, he actually did steal it, they got his ID. They could come back and find him. You know, they take down his address, and they let him walk the streets because he's not guilty of
apparently,
anything.
Now, here's the thing about it. Apparently, he was accused of having a stolen credit card.
By whom?
With his name on it. See, that's a part of it.
That's really hard to... Well, you know, there's all those Trayvon Christians out there.
That's it.
He knocked up another one and took his card.
Yeah. See, the thing about it is, we're ready to go to Chris. This is the thing about it that's alarming. And that is, what we're saying is rational and reasonable, isn't it? And makes sense. But these people didn't act on ration and reason. They acted on gut instinct. They acted on pathological stereotypes that existed below the level of reasoning and consciousness.
Sure.
They didn't even stop to think, this doesn't make any sense. The guy's got everything he needs. He's using a credit card. No, they saw him, and to them at the time, they didn't think about whether it made sense. Of course.
You know, I wonder about cops in general. I mean, you were a cop.
Yeah.
If you got a complaint, Garland, from a citizen, all right, crime in progress. Some guy's beating up a girl.
Yeah.
And you go out there, and you see a lovely couple having a picnic. You don't go arrest the guy for beating up the girl, even though you got that call.
Mark, I've been there where I've had people say somebody's doing whatever, and
right.
I've said, And
you go out there, check it out, and there's nothing happening.
I've been there where somebody said, somebody's doing such and such, and I'd say, well, that's not a crime. We can't even send anybody. You know what I mean? Somebody accuses somebody.
Someone accused someone of an actual crime. They said there's been a break-in, and there's a guy, and you come in, and there's no break-in. There's no broken glass. Right. The door's fine.
But there's a black guy walking down the street eating an ice cream cone in front.
What I'm trying to understand is the cop's mentality. How do you bring someone in when there's no evidence of a crime being committed?
That's the question, which means that's not a rational thing to do,
right,
which means they weren't operating from a rational perspective. They were operating from an emotional
stereotype. Do we know whether these cops were long-term veteran cops or new cops on the job? I'd be curious about
Beats that. Beats me. But maybe. Chris is going to tell us something. Chris, welcome to WPSW.
Hi, Chris. Hey, how's it going?
Wonderful.
For letting me call in. I think guys kind of hit the nail on the head. This is more of a systemic problem. And unfortunately, it's a problem that's getting a lot of black people killed around the country. Case in point, the story, I forget the child's name, but the young gentleman down in North Carolina who, you know, was in a car accident.
Right.
And was getting help. And now he's dead. You know, and who's to say that these two cops would have shut up this situation and done something similar? I mean, you can't be black in New York City, do the right thing, and not be accosted by the police. Stop and frisk, you know, every policy is pointing in this direction. And my mother's from New York City. I remember we were in Manhattan once. My brother had on a baseball cap and a puffy jacket. We got in a cab. You know, after waiting for a cab for some minutes, we got in a cab. And the first question the cab driver asked my brother is if he has a gun. I mean, so, you know, not where are you going, not how's your day. You
That's
know,
a very weird question, because if he had a gun, you wouldn't want to ask
Yeah, right, yeah. I guess he would have pulled it out by then.
Yes, I do. Now drop, you know, take me down the road, please. Drop me off. The home.
Yeah, I got a hold up around the corner. Take me to the bank.
You know, drop me off and give me your money, please.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just crazy. I wonder whether I'm asking both of you this question, whether you think the new mayor, because there is a new mayor coming in, and he's supposed to be a liberal. His wife is black. He's got multiracial kids. I wonder, his name escapes me at the moment, but I wonder if he'll change the basically way of thinking. I'm sure we'll get a new police chief, I would think. Mm-hmm. Get rid of Kelly, and that might just change things in New York.
Yeah, but it may change some things in the police department. I think it will, based on my experience. But here's the other part of it. Think about what we're talking about. Yes, we're talking about police officers who saw a black person and profiled him and thought he was a criminal, right? But that ain't all we're talking about. We're talking about somebody that worked at the counter in Barney's. We're talking about somebody driving a cab. What we're talking about is not a phenomenon that's related to law enforcement. It's related to American society. Therefore, those cops that profile this person as a criminal, if they were working in a donut shop, they'd have thought the same thing. If they were,
but you know what I'm saying?
Here's my point.
Okay.
The results and their ability to take a person's liberty and shoot them, or whatever the case may be, is different. Sure, the results are different. But what I'm saying is, everybody here, from the person in Barney's to the cops to whoever, everybody looked at this guy with no evidence that he committed a crime and said he's a black man with a $350 belt. That's what we have to look at in our society.
And we should definitely work to change people's attitudes, Garland.
But
there's a difference. Lots of people are racist in America, and we can try to change people's attitudes. We can try to make things better. I think it's very, very slowly maybe getting better to some extent. But that's one thing. People have a right to be racist. What they don't have a right to do is act on their racist inclinations and start arresting people who haven't committed a crime. So to the extent that the officers who did this are punished and hopefully fired, the employee or whoever it was at Barney's that called him out is fired, and that publicity of that action is made, you know, very clear to people. People are less likely to act upon their racism, which is, frankly, the thing that we can do something about.
Did we lose Dave? We lost Dave. Dave, call back. We need you. We're going to Randy, 202-588-0893. We're going to Randy. Dave, call back. Get back on the line. I appreciate you waiting there, and we'll get you right on if you
202-588-0893.
Randy, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, Garland.
How you doing?
Hey, and Mark. Hey there.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Tesla. You know, when you were asking the guy's name a while ago, I went online to get it for you, and you won't guess what popped up.
Trayvon Martin, I assume. No?
No, guess what? It says, another black Barney shopper accused of credit card fraud after buying a $2,500 purse.
Yeah,
I did read about her too.
Yeah, I read about her too.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Right.
You know, yeah, I think it's store policy.
Well, it wasn't Barney's. It was a different store, I think.
No, this is Barney's.
Oh, this
yeah,
is Barney's,
Barney's yeah. yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, my first reaction is, what is an 18-year-old kid doing buying a 350?
But you know what? This is America. He has a right to do it. I mean, I wouldn't buy a $350 belt.
Me neither.
If you pay me $350, I'd keep the money. That's not me.
No,
but, you know.
But that's not relevant to the incident anyway.
It really
is. You know I'm joking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's enough guilt to spread around here. I thought that was an interesting comment you made. You said, well, there's an interracial couple, you know, that might change thinking.
Well, the mayor of New York.
Look here. Let me cut you off in your tracks. We had a black president elected.
That's true.
It couldn't have been a week later that incident happened up at Harvard with the professor.
Yeah, right.
But there's no way President Obama is responsible for the local police force. I mean,
no, but,
is responsible for the police chief of New York City, who is responsible largely for the NYPD policy.
Well, let me come in through the back door with you.
Okay.
There's been incidents. I had the same thing happen to me in Georgetown back in 79. I was arrested. I was at Safeway at 17th and Corcoran some years ago, and they claimed I was stealing. They called the police. I got beat up and hospitalized. But the point I'm getting ready to make, you have actually, I mean, in this case, there may have been white officers involved. You've got black policemen buying into the same narrative.
Absolutely. Don't they watch the same TV? Don't they live in the same country? Don't they hear the same things and see the same things?
And if they see you with a $350 belt, I mean, for better or for worse, don't ask why, but there seems to be this thought, how could you possibly have bought this?
If people don't want to have people have $350 belts, they shouldn't sell them.
They shouldn't sell them.
Here's the thing about it, and there's a great test that people can go to, and Harvard has it called the Implicit Association Test, where the brain, you don't even realize it's below the level of consciousness. You see these things on TV, you see these things on the movies, and no matter what color you are, your brain starts associating certain things together.
They had an incident at Walden Books out at the mall in Fairfax. I forgot the name of the mall, the big mall out there. A bookstore, the alarm goes off at the exit right there. A black woman, young black woman, and a white male are going through there. They told the black woman to stop, come over here, let me see your bag.
They didn't tell the white guy to stop.
They did not, and he's the one that apparently had the item that was stolen.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but again, what is that? That's about a person who already, they have these pathological stereotypes. And we're going to be ready to go to Courtney. We're going to bring Courtney on, but I want to say this. One thing I want to say about what you said, Mark, as far as a person being a racist. One thing I think we have to get away from, because if I say paint a person with a broad brush and I say that person's a racist, that means either they are where they aren't. Now, the fact of the matter is a person can have very few racist tendencies. However,
but still think that if
they
can have stereotypes and one of them stole something,
right,
that it had to be the black
woman. Yeah, because they can have racial stereotypes in the back of their mind and their subconscious that they are not even aware of and have no intent of racism.
Racism is not someone, not
right,
means it doesn't mean you put on a robe,
right,
and you try,
right,
to attack black,
right,
people and lynch them.
Because
that includes racism, but it's broader than that. It's people who prejudge people on the basis of race.
And here's the important part about it. Oftentimes, it's in the subconscious mind. They don't even know they're doing it. I think we can get a lot further in talking about racism if we start recognizing there's a lot of people who, in a broad manner, if you ask them, they're the most, you know, liberal, progressive person, don't have a racist, but in their subconscious, there are stereotypes that they're not aware of. And when they see the black guy and the white guy, they think the black guy is a criminal because of what they've seen on the news, what they've seen on TVs. Their brain is making this association without them even realizing it. And when you say you're a racist, they say, no, I'm not a racist. Well, the fact of the matter, in the term that we understand it, they're not a, quote, racist, but they have these pathological stereotypes in their subconscious that they're unaware of, and the effect of their actions affects racism on other people. But we got to get Courtney on, Mark.
Okay.
Mark, and then you can comment.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, how are you? Good to hear your voice again. I met you guys at the live broadcast at Buzzwoods.
I remember you, Courtney.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was great.
Awesome.
Thanks for visiting us.
I just wanted to agree, first of all, with the point that Mr. Nixon just made about the subconsciousness, the subconscious level of the stereotypes. The reason why I always want to bring up is the this is not the first time that the fashion industry seems to have used racism as a business practice. Honestly, I remember the incident at an Eddie Bauer store.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was in the Washington area, where a young man purchased a T-shirt and returned to the store the next day wearing the same T-shirt and was asked by the security guard to take that same T-shirt off and leave it at the store.
Yep, I remember that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I wasn't making things up.
No.
My memory kind of...
It was on the news all around D.C. I remember that very well. I saw the young man on there.
Right, exactly. But another problem is, the reason why I think that's such a subconscious business practice, and so subconscious that it's so prevalent throughout the country, is that unlike a time at the 60s where people would have done something about it collectively and in solidarity, such as the Montgomery bus boycott, is nobody boycotted Eddie Bauer.
Right.
Nobody stopped, or at least a significant amount of sales was not reported in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody stopped buying, for example, I remember somebody said that it was just a rumor, and even the Tommy Hilfiger thing where somebody apparently said, Daddy said something about my clothes are directed towards, or not directed towards a certain population. And then he went on the Vibe show with an interview with Sinbad and said, no, this is not true. Da, 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 da. Nobody, even from the perception of that statement, whether he actually said it or not, there was no significant loss of sales.
So you feel as though you know there's no price to pay, and so that is one of the reasons that these things continue to occur. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, you know, people need to remember how valuable and effective boycotts are. I mean, obviously the Montgomery bus boycott is one of the most famous civil rights incident, you know, prior to the March on Washington. I mean, Rosa Parks, right? And there have been more modern boycotts as well. I remember when Adolph Kors company,
right.
Adolph Kors really hated gay people and ran the company, and gay people started boycotting Kors beer. And when you know, there's a lot of drinking in gay bars, and when they're not buying Coors beer, they start losing a lot of business.
Mark, for some reason, anybody with the name Adolph that really is going.
But what's interesting is the Coors company separated itself from Adolph, mm-hmm. and they took it over separate from him, and they started giving all this money to charities and to gay causes,
hey,
and now
and Adolph.
Well, and the boycott ended. Well,
I just can't see somebody having
maybe if you're German.
Yeah, he's a beautiful child. What are we going to name him? I know that's.
Well,
name, I don't. Adolph.
Well, that kind of tells you maybe what kind of person he was. But the point is, boycotts are effective.
Okay, next we're going to go to Wayne. Wayne, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, yeah, hi. You know, as you said before, racism is a very it's a very insidious thing, and of course, you know, people can express themselves in a racial way and may not realize it. It's as you said, it's a subconscious expression at times. You know, but. What I like to hear the discussion go more towards is we know it exists. We know it's out there. What about solutions? What can we do as African-Americans to move ourselves forward despite of racism? Because it's going to be out there. We still have a long time before we're a post-racial society. So what do we do to move forward?
I think it goes, speaking as a white guy here, I think it goes back to really the dream of Martin Luther King or frankly, Brown versus Board of Education. I think people need to mix more. I think more blacks need to know white people, more whites need to know black people, and we need to get past that. I mean, the guy, the racist in North Carolina who said, I have a black friend. Well, you know, white people shouldn't have one black friend, and black people shouldn't have one white friend. I mean, I think it goes both ways. I think the more people know each other, and we're in families together, and we work together, and we're colleagues together, to me, that's the best weapon against racism. It's simply once you know enough people of different races, you know there's good and bad black people and good and bad white people and good and bad Asian, Latino, and Jewish and gay and whatever. To me, that kind of just sort of knowledge in a personal level is the best fight against racism.
Well, thank you very much, Tesfa. Welcome to WPFW.
Well, do you have a view on Garland? What you think would help dampen down racism?
I don't know. I don't. I don't know what the heck.
Okay, all right.
Maybe I'm just cynical here, and you know, I feel it's all futile. It's been all for nothing. If we can't even buy a stinking belt in Barney's, then Mark, I think I'm going to lock myself in a cave.
I'm not ready to give up yet on humanity.
We got Tesla. We got Tesla.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Tesla.
Look, a Harvard professor who shook his gate was arrested. They even didn't want to make sure he belongs there, and they didn't want to check whether he owns that property or not. He was arrested. This is a Harvard professor who is not young.
Yeah, Henry Louis Gates, and a very well-respected. I mean, he's...
He has written many books.
Oh, yeah, I've read some of his books. He's a fantastic professor and intellectual.
I have some of his books.
I do, too.
He was arrested. Look, in America, shopping while black is a serious, serious problem.
Now, some would argue living while black is enough to, you know, get you locked up.
Let me tell you this. I once wanted to buy some pairs of shoes because my old shoes were worn out. And since I couldn't find the old Sears shoes, I was trying to buy Rockport and Timberlake shoes because they are comfortable and light.
Mm-hmm.
I was not looking for boots, construction shoes, just light Timberlake shoes. I couldn't find them. I went to the same store twice, and I was being followed. And lots of people, when they see me usually, think I am an innocent-looking person. But
you sound like an innocent-looking person.
but they followed me because simply I am a black person shopping. It is a serious problem in America. Suspecting a black person or concluding a black person is a criminal is just second nature.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Tesla. I hate to stop you here, but we got to get ready to take a break.
Quick, before we take the break, President Obama, of course, said that he, of course, had been followed in a store as well as a young man. So obviously, the President of the United States has gone through this as well. When we come back, I want to find out, Garland, if you've been followed.
Are you kidding? Probably today.
We'll talk about it. Let's talk about it when we come back.
It's time. Yes, it's time for WPFW's 4th Annual U Street Jam. It's all going down Saturday, November 9th at the Prince Hall Performing Arts Center, 1000 U Street, Northwest in Washington, D.C. The doors will open at 8 p.m. and we'll party till 2 a.m. Come party with your favorite WPFW personalities like James Funk, Captain Fly, Andrea Bray, Zydeco Cowboy Fred, Millie Ware, Rope, Lollipop, Nate the Skate, Kimry Orendorf, and your co-MCs Scooter Magruder and Dr. Nick. Food prepared by Lamont's Entertainment Complex will be for sale. Tickets only $40 each, or purchase a table for 10 at $300. For tickets and information, call 202-588-0999, extension 344, or log on to WPFWFM.org. It's the 4th Annual U Street Jam. Don't miss it.
.  WPFW, Washington, D.C. You're listening to News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. My name is Garland Nix. I'm here with Mark Levine. We've got plenty to say. You've got plenty to say. I want to get to Ike, and then we're going to keep going. You can call in about this, but there's a...
I do want to talk about the guy in North Carolina.
Yelton.
As well.
So, Ike, you've been waiting patiently. We got to get you on.
Hey, two brothers, man. I love y'all, man.
Thanks, Ike.
I dig the way y'all do, because you let us get our stuff off. But I need to digress.
Okay.
You notice that nobody's talking about the killing of that black woman over there at the Pentagon. You know, I visit Washington, D.C. It costs me money.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the museums and everything in Washington, D.C., that's just like shopping over there, too. Okay, now, they could have shot her tires out, but they shot her with a baby in a car. And I couldn't wait to get home, to get back here in Washington with you two cats on the radio show and tell me, what the hell happened?
You said the Pentagon. Is there something, another incident? You got the woman at the White House and then the Capitol.
But we did a show on that. We did a lot on that.
The black, say it.
Right.
The black woman that they shot over there. And
we did talk about that the week it happened.
Yeah.
And we talked about it because she was mentally ill.
Yeah.
They never mentioned the cat that shot her name. They still are not mentioning him. They're being quiet about it. So what is that telling you? That they'll kill her, our women, and kill our men? I don't care what color it is.
Well, thanks a lot.
You can kill our women and our men, and it's okay?
Well, thanks a lot for calling. But we did that, and I hate to stray too far from, you know, what I hate, because sometimes if we get to talking about other things, we'll stray away from what we're talking about. So I appreciate it, and we did some time on that.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Of course, these are people who've done absolutely nothing wrong. These aren't, you know, the woman did, you know, drive into the place and get to the White House and stuff. So, but obviously, the young man and the young woman shopping did absolutely nothing wrong.
And just to touch, we've got plenty of callers hanging on, and we can talk about the incident at Barney's, but let's take about 2 or 3 minutes, Aaron Maher. There was a gentleman the other day on The Daily Show, Don Yelton.
I don't know if he was a gentleman or not, but
I'm going to call him a gentleman because that's the nice thing to do.
Well, he was
a conservative activist named Don Yelton from North Carolina. He was the Republican precinct chairman in Buncombe County, North Carolina, and he made some remarks regarding the voter ID laws. He said, quote, "The law is going to kick the Democrats in the butt.
True.
If it hurts a bunch of lazy of college kids that are too lazy to get up off their bahonkas and go get a photo ID, so be it. If it hurts a bunch of whites, so be it." And he also said, "If it hurts a bunch of lazy blacks that want the government to give them everything, so be it." He also said a number of other things. He said that
what he said is nothing unusual for anyone in the Republican Party. And anyone who knows anything about these laws knows they are designed to discriminate against blacks, against college students, against the elderly, against anyone who doesn't have a driver's license, against poor people, against Democratic voters.
Just Mr. Yelton just wasn't, shall we say, bright enough to realize
you don't say those
that
things
he
publicly
needed to hide it. And I would even say this, and we look at him and say, you know, he used the N-word on several occasions during that.
He said it
a couple times.
I don't think I've heard a white guy say the N-word on air in decades.
And the guy that was interviewing him said, "You understand we can hear you."
Yes, he did say that.
And the guy said to him, he says, are you a bigot? And he looked around and he said,
He looked around and he said, "I've been called that in the past, but I got nothing against you." He went after the interviewer, who's South Asian, Indian,
he says,
Pakistani or whatever.
Yeah, he says, but I'm not. I have a black
friend. Yeah, he used all the code words.
Yeah, he has a black friend. But at any rate, and of course, he's since stepped down.
But see, I see where this guy's coming from. This guy is very clear. He's saying, look, we don't want people voting for the Democratic Party. So we're going to keep blacks from voting. We're
going to
keep politicians from voting. If people are too lazy to, you know, have a photo ID, notwithstanding the fact that some people are too poor to have a photo ID, which is poor and lazy are different things. People need to understand those are different.
Well,
different
he didn't
concepts.
Mention about lazy to get an ID. He said, if it hurts a bunch of lazy blacks that want the government to give them everything.
There you go.
They're all
welfare queens.
Yeah, they're all
Ronald Reagan's welfare queens.
Now, he's since stepped down from his position, but I would argue they probably said he's too far to the left for us. You know, he's going soft.
They said, don't say those things publicly.
Yeah, don't you know
that you can't say those things publicly.
Yeah, we all know it's true, and they all know it's true. So that's who these Tea Party Congress members are going home to. This is what they're going home. He's not some anomaly in
He's not the least.
In Buncombe County,
he is absolutely typical in Buncombe County.
He's just a regular old guy.
Absolutely, he's a good old boy.
They probably consider him a liberal.
He's a good old boy, and he was. And you know what? He was telling the truth. It wasn't that they hate black people. It's just that black people vote for Democrats,
and so
they couldn't let them vote.
And they think that they're all lazy and a bunch of lazy black people.
Well, yeah.
And
rely on the government.
He stepped down from his position, and it's probably I tell you what, you know what it was in that interview, why the reason they forced him to step down from his position? The part where he said, "I have a black friend." They said, "You have a black friend."
That's the problem, buddy.
I'm sorry. You're out of here. Let's go to Troy. Troy, welcome to WPFW. We're having a wonderful, fun conversation about the most horrible things here.
Hey, Troy.
How you doing, man?
Hey,
wonderful.
There.
Good. Listen, I really like the man's comment, the gentleman on the air who made the comment about he felt that, you know, we can really improve the issues of racism by allowing people or people taking initiative to kind of blend. You know,
that's my idea. I'm glad you like that because I think it's the only way. The only way is for people not to think about black people, but to know black people. For white people, black people not to think about white people, but to know. That's my friend. Leave me alone.
Well, that's one side of it. But then, you know, you still have the other problem, and that is that you sometimes I think that we as blacks, you know, we're guilty of feeling that other people should stand up for us. And that's simply not the case.
Well, I think there are white people that stand up for black people. I like to think
I'm one of them. I think you get me wrong. What I'm actually saying is that we should be a lot more proactive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Everyone should be proactive about racism. White, black, Asian,
kind of down the role of the civil rights, that maybe after the civil rights movement, we kind of seem to have gotten soft when it comes to fighting back.
And I say that because I don't, Latinos don't really tolerate it as much as we do.
You think?
Oh, no, they don't. Neither do Russians. Neither do Africans. Huh. Neither do Koreans. But out of all of the races that have been offended over the years, I would have to say that in the melting pot, blacks are probably the most tolerant on a grander scale of the whole spectrum. And the reason why is because in some way we've been here longer than everybody else has. You know, number one, and number two, when you go back in history, we've, in some way, subliminally, I believe that we've been kind of groomed in some ways to accept it and to realize it is part of living in this country.
You know, you make a very, very powerful point. Let me tell you that. Say this: I had a discussion with a friend of mine who's a wonderful guy, great guy, and he's a Latino guy, and we had the same discussion. And he talked about what you're saying, I can see something that you can't see, Garland, because some of the things that infuriate me with that I see that are racism, he says, they don't infuriate you as much because you're black, because you've been through so many things that you're probably numb to some of it. And he said some of the very things that we're talking about now just absolutely infuriate. He is so angry over it. Now, he came from Puerto Rico. He's Puerto Rican. And within his family, you know how Puerto Rico is, there are people who are dark that are black. When his family gets together, cousins, there are people that are dark that are
all
black. There are people that are white as snow from
the
Spanish side. And he said, so in his family, when he grew up, the town that he grew up in, Puerto Rico, when you said somebody was black, you know, Negro or whatever, it was
more descriptive than racist.
It was like somebody has red hair, somebody has blonde hair, and somebody has brown hair. Right. And when he came here, so it really infuriates him to see that. And that, and this caller makes a powerful point in that the truth is a lot of black people, we're probably somewhat numb to it because of the things that we've been through. And we don't get maybe as upset or angry, if that's the word, or concerned as we should. And we see it and we say, man, that's really crappy. And then we kind of feel like it would be futile to do anything, and we just go back to what we were doing, you know, and almost say, okay, well, that's just the way it is.
I've been reading about how unapologetic.
And we're going to Rowland next. Rowland, you're right next. Roland, I'm going
to
say.
Before we get to Roland, I just want to read about how unapologetic Don Yelton was. This is a quote from him. I resign my position as precinct chair. Gladly, I'll give it up. To heck with it. I don't want to be part of a group that is that mealy-mouthed and that gutless, he said. He said that he stands by his comments, and he's been called a bigot before, and he said that speaking of the people who wanted him fired, quote, they're a bunch of chickens. I'm embarrassed for the fact that they don't stand up and fight for what's right.
Now, you know what's interesting about that, Mark?
So he firmly believes that everything said, there's nothing wrong with what he
said.
You
know what's funny about that, Mark? He called them chickens. And they won't stand up and fight for what they believe is right. What he's saying is, behind closed doors,
they agree with
we
me.
All say the same.
Exactly.
Shadows, lazy
That's
blacks.
That's exactly
we stop
what he's saying.
But when we get in public,
they won't say it publicly, and I will. I'm being honest, and they're being dishonest.
And you know what? To some extent,
he's right.
He's right.
Yeah, he
he's
says
stand
it publicly.
Up and say, and blacks are a bunch of lazy folks, and they shouldn't vote, and blah blah blah.
They say it in private.
And they walk around and they say, oh, are you kidding? African Americans? Why I have African Americans friends? I think it would be absurd. We're doing this because there was I think there might have been somebody who voted twice.
I once asked a guy, I got to say, one of these voter ID people, I once asked the guy on air, he's like, yeah, I have black friends. I'm like, what are their names? He couldn't name them. Right. I'm like, what are their names?
See, that's
it's like, well, I don't want to embarrass them. Like, why would it embarrass them?
Why would it
embarrass them? If they're your friends,
right.
I'm not embarrassed to name my friends. My friends aren't embarrassed to name me. We're friends.
That's it. The thing about it
why
is,
would they be embarrassed?
It goes back to that prima facie evidence of not being a racist is that right. You have black. I've had black friends, therefore
right.
I couldn't possibly be a racist, as opposed to even a person who doesn't have a racist bone in their body, who would never consciously do anything racist, has some stereotypes in the back of their mind, and they may act unknowingly on those stereotypes. And if somebody brings it to their attention and says, you know, you just said such and such, somebody could perceive that as racist. And you know what? Unfortunately, most of the time people do, instead of looking inward and saying, you know, let me think about that. I wonder if somebody could perceive that. They'll deny. No, what are you talking about? Racist? I'm not.
Yeltsin told CNN that he stands by his comments.
Now, why wouldn't he?
He brushed off the criticism, saying, quote, we can't avoid these issues. We need to bring them up and talk about them, unquote.
I love him.
I agree. We need to bring them up and talk about them. And I, you know what? The one nice thing about an honest racist is they're better than a dishonest.
That's right. And he said,
so well, I give him credit.
And he said, and if you'll excuse me now, I have a Klan meeting. I mean, a tea party meeting I have to go to convention here.
Let's go to Roland.
Roland.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey there.
Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Listen, I've got two very quick comments and then a suggestion. The first comment is I agree with everything you said about the idiot in North Carolina and what he has said and doesn't even recognize the nature of what how it sounds to everybody else. It's just really sad. Second comment, the Republicans, especially Tea Party, but Republicans going after the Southern voter, you know, President Johnson, when he was pushing for the Civil Rights Act, you know, he was warning Democrats, you know, do what's right, but understand that we're going to lose a lot of support.
He said, I've signed away the South for a generation, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. Now, my suggestion is in response to the earlier caller who said, well, you know, I'd like to hear about some solutions on how we can address this systemic issue. And my thought is, for one, when Pesce pointed out that the New York police shouldn't have taken him from the store, they should have first checked and seen the ID and seen everything. And frankly, the police should have turned to the store and said, we don't see evidence of any crime.
Precisely.
It's an issue of police education, and that's where my suggestion...
That's a good suggestion. That's a very good suggestion. The police absolutely have to be educated, and that comes down from the top, and that's why I'm hoping the new mayor will start instruction from the top, because Bloomberg's going finally, thank you, and hopefully this new guy will give the right instruction.
Or a girl.
Absolutely. Well, I just mean the mayor.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, new guy or girl, whoever or woman, whoever the mayor may be, you know?
Yeah, well, in this case, it's going to be a guy, but...
Oh, okay.
Not that there would be anything wrong with
that. And yeah, you know, Roland makes a good point. That was Roland, right? Roland makes a great point.
Roland.
And that is that when the call came in, if somebody calls the police and say, we have a potential crime here, possible crime. Okay, what do you have? Oh, a guy just bought a belt with a credit card. Okay, what do you have? We think he's the stolen Coke credit card. Okay, how?
Why?
We don't just send cops for anything. Why?
Why do you think he's stolen a car? Well, he's a young guy.
Yeah.
He's a black guy.
He's 18. He bought a $350 belt.
Does he have
right.
ID?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Then you say, okay, why do you think it's a stolen credit card? You know, if I'm dispatching an officer and I'm going to send an officer, you know, if somebody calls and says, You know, we got a Jewish guy walking around here, and he looks to have a yarmulke. Can you send a police officer?
Yes,
well, okay, I could. Is somebody hurting him? Is there something going?
Is he
gonna commit a crime? There's no Jewish people in this neighborhood, and I think he's up to no good. Well, I'm sorry. We don't dispatch officers just because somebody doesn't like somebody in their neighborhood or doesn't like their clothing.
You know, I remember growing up in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's still legal today, but a country club, they didn't allow blacks or Jews to come there. So actually they could say, sorry, there's a black or a Jewish person on the premises. We're calling the police. But
this is
the Civil Rights Act.
It's probably it's the same way in old Buncombe County down there where Mr. Yeltsin came from. I bet he's got a nickname like Bubba or something like that.
Bubba Buncombe.
Yeah, Bubba Yeltsin.
Or just Buncombe.
Yeah,
Buncombe.
But they just don't have the. They took the signs.
They call
down.
Him Buncombe Bumpkin.
They took the signs down. That's all it is. It said no blacks or Jews.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do we have next? Solo. Salome.
Salome. Hello, Salome.
Salome.
Hello, Salome.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Yeah. Talk to us.
I just wanted to give my comment and feelings. When I was hearing you guys, one of you says that Obama is half black, half white.
Yeah, he is.
I hate to hear that because this guy, if you have read his childhood, he has been experiencing racism because of his black.
Well, that's true.
Belongs to black. He's a black man. At the same time, if you have one cc of black blood, you are categorized in you are a black man.
But I don't know that we should do this. I'm curious to know, Garland, what you think. To me, that's part of the legacy of racism. I a lot of multiracial people that I talk to today are proud of all their drops of blood.
Yeah, I heard. I don't know who says that, but I heard that. In any case, the other thing I wanted to say is racism is only directed to black people. I have a problem when it is addressed together with gay, women's rights, abortion, all this.
Do you think there's racism against Latinos and Asians?
Racism, we have to break it down. Racism is only to black people that we were suffering either in slavery, colonization, neocolonization, and now in a different ways that we are having a problem. Racism is directly to black people, and it is the black people who are suffering. We are suffering everywhere we go, everywhere. The media focuses on black people. We dream the devil of black in our mind.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate your calls and your perspective. We love all perspectives.
I
want to get through.
Just real quick, I think that racism is the unique stain on American history. It is the thing. It is from the time of the Constitution to the Civil War. The way that Americans have treated Americans have treated black people is the single greatest stain. That doesn't mean there aren't other stains, Native Americans, Latinos, and Asians, but I do think it's the greatest stain.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about President Obama, black, half black, okay, in pure from a purely genetic and biological perspective, he's half black and half white. In the context of American social and
culturally, people treat
beliefs,
him as black. I just wonder if we should do that. But that's a different
issue. But it's a reality. But it comes from slavery. One drop of
black
blood.
Well, I know it does.
You know,
but that's
slavery.
Why I fight against it,
right.
I guess, because it has a racist
even the
origination.
Yes.
And so, when Tiger Woods said he was Coblin Asian or whatever he said, and people are like, how dare he say that? He's a black guy. Well, no, he's multiracial.
He really is.
And he wanted to celebrate his multiracialism.
And he has a right to do that. Well, and there's a certain level with being a black person. I can tell you this. There's a certain level of feeling there. I don't know if you want to call it fear or whatever, of belief that sometimes a black person may try to disavow their blackness. Because now my mother and I have in my history people who were Creole. Mm-hmm. And some of
them—that's a proud tradition. Right,
yeah, and
proud
some of
culture.
Them went. Just to say, some of them went north, and they wasn't Creole anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were so close to white that they disappeared, mm-hmm. and they lived out. They called it passing. Mm-hmm. There were black people who were, mulatto.
That's
and
what Plessy V. Ferguson was all about. It was a guy who was 1/8 black, passing in the train, and that's where the whole case came from.
So that history, black people can feel a little taken aback by the idea of a black person saying I'm not black because
I don't think a multiracial person should say I'm not black.
No.
I'm just saying that if someone celebrates all aspects of their identity.
I'm just saying that you understand why black people, because of historically, have a feeling like.
And listen, there's a whole history
trying to deny their blackness.
Of lighter-skinned black people mistreating darker-skinned black people because that's how the slavers
that's
did
where
it.
They were taught.
In the house, the people
but we
gotta in the house.
We got a
fields.
Few callers. Let's try to get to them real quick before we go. Murphy.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, Murphy.
Yes, I'm not sure. I'm sure that this is not under racism, but I would classify this under stupidity. I was traveling on P Street going east from New Hampshire Avenue, and it took me a little more than 20 minutes to go two blocks. So when I got to the fray, the police department was stopping every car in the name of safety check, checking for seatbelts,
today?
Registration, et cetera, all in the name of safety during rush hour.
That's weird.
Yeah, that wasn't too sharp.
Did that happen today?
It's right now.
Murphy?
Right now.
Avoid that intersection, folks.
A safety check during race hour. I mean, race hour. Listen to me. Race hour. But look, we got two more calls. We only got a couple seconds. Thank you very much. We got Taylor and Rick. Taylor.
Yeah, real quick. You know, it's always been an institutional, well, the upper echelon have really basically pitted the different segments of the population against each other.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you know, it's
throughout
it's
history.
It works and it's ongoing. You know, and what bothers me is that this country that talks about education so much doesn't avail the opportunities of the educated to get jobs. 40% of and how are the blacks supposed to do anything if they can't get occupation? How are the whites supposed to do anything with a college degree if they can't get hired? It's rather sad. There's so many things wrong with this country now. It's almost tilting upside down. And the blacks, unfortunately, are the scapegoats. When a culture starts picking scapegoats because of its problems, then the culture's on the way down.
And let me throw this in.
That makes sense.
The Latinos are also being scapegoated.
Absolutely.
A lot. Oh, you can't get your job because of these. You know, they're being scapegoated.
What about the Arabs? What about the Arabs now?
Right.
Muslims are absolutely being scapegoated in America. Yeah.
And what's hurting us, what's really hurting us, are policies, in my opinion, that are designed to give everything to the super wealthy and take everything from everybody else.
And get everyone fighting with each other.
And instead, we're so busy blaming each other that we don't realize
that the people who fought in the Confederacy were the poor white people that didn't have any slaves most part. And they were helping slave owners who stayed at home and didn't even fight.
And last but not least, Rick, you're last tonight. You're our last caller on WPFW.
Hello, Rick.
And you know what? At the end is what I think it's all about. Is the rich use a divide and conquer scheme.
Absolutely.
To keep all of us fighting each other. And I have problems with people saying that black people suffered under racism more so than anyone else. Because remember, there were people here when
the Native Americans are genocide. Right.
And those people have really suffered a great deal. But I think it's a class, the issue is class. But they use race as a way to divide and conquer. I have kids who are not all racist terms, biologically black. And I tell my kids there's two kind of folks that are recognized in this country. They're white people and people who ain't white.
Yeah.
And if you ain't white because you got a little drop of something else in you, you will face that economic, social, educational depression or that other people face. And that's what it is. It's a struggle between the haves and the have-nots. And it's not necessarily race, but racism is a problem.
It's alive and kicking. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call, but we're running out of time here. You've been listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. The name of the show is News Views, Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And tune in. Also, if you're out there, you can't get us way, way out there, go to WPFW.org, and we are live streaming, or if you want to put it up on Twitter at Garland Nixon. You can email me, garlandn@gmail.com or Garland Nixon on Facebook, Mark.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk. Website's MarkLevineTalk.com. I'm on Facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. Come say hello. Let me know what you think
of
the show.
And our radio shows are on MarkLevineTalk.com.
Absolutely. Every show that Garland and I do is on MarkLevineTalk.com, so check it out.
Yeah, go there and listen to them like they were a podcast. Next, we have Robin's Place with some really good music. You want to stay tuned. Now is not the time to change your dial.
No, time to relax and calm down.
Now we're getting to the good part. I'll see Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, WPFW 89.3 FM, next Friday, 6 p.m.
89.3 FM.
This is member supported.
WPFW, Washington.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything's starting to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is